Hello and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Words of Welcome, the teaching ministry of Welcome Baptist Church, Heathfield.
Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus gives us two stern warnings as part of his Sermon on the Mount. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Let's pray. Father God, as we read your word, as we think upon it, as we meditate upon your words, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would breathe upon us, breath of God, that you would set our hearts on fire for you, that our desire may be for you, our desire toward you may be greater than anything else in our lives, that you may be first. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. One of the most famous stories in the life of Jesus is Jesus's meeting with the rich young ruler. I talk about it many times in my sermons, and it's an important story for us in our lives when we think about salvation and entry into the kingdom of God and our life that we will live eternally. The story is told in Matthew 19, but it's also told in Mark and Luke. Such is its importance. The story, as you remember, goes something like this. A rich young man, powerful young ruler, a Mark Zuckerberg or a Elon Musk or even an old gentleman perhaps, comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to inherit, to gain eternal life?" And we know that Jesus answers him from the Ten Commandments. He uses the Ten Commandments as a tool for this man. And he says, well, you know what it says in the law. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not lie. And the man turns to Jesus and in all honesty seems to say, all of these I have kept, even from my youth. And Jesus delivers, if you like, a knockout blow and says, well then, Mark Zuckerberg, well then, Trump, well then, Elon Musk, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Well, you can imagine if Jesus said that to any of those living people, that would be a huge thing for them to swallow. And it was a huge thing for this young man to swallow. And we're told it was because he was very rich. He had so much earthly treasure to lose if he was to follow the Messiah. As he walks away disappointed, Jesus turns to his disciples, and I'm sure there is deep heartache in the heart of our King as he says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And he says this line, and it's entered into common language, so people inside and outside the church know it. He says it's easier to thread a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And of course, the disciples are shocked, and they're saying, well, who on earth can enter the kingdom of heaven then? Their ideas, their thought pattern was that riches were a blessing from God. That you could tell by how rich someone was, how blessed they were. Their prosperity and their fidelity were hand in hand. Who then can be saved? The disciples said, who can be saved? And of course, Jesus said, what is impossible for us, what is impossible for Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or Andy Caldwell or you, what is impossible for us is entirely possible with God. And so we know we are saved by faith alone. In Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, for the glory of God alone, as revealed in Scripture alone. So we know that it is God's work. Nevertheless, there is an interesting other side to that, in that this young man was required by Jesus Christ to do something. In this instance, he was required to give away his possessions. They obviously meant more to him than God. He was called to give away his possessions and follow Jesus. So although we are saved by God alone, there is a human element in our surrender, in our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord. It's going to affect every part of our being. So an old preacher's story goes something like this. In a certain town, there was a wall around the town that protected the town from the marauding bandits and the people out there. And so it only had one entrance. And the entrance was incredibly narrow and incredibly small, so that only one person at a time could enter into the town. That way it would be safe. If marauders or bandits came, they could only come in one at a time and the city guard would be able to deal with them. But of course, the traveling merchants wanted to sell their wares. And they would have difficulty getting into the town with their camels or their donkeys laden with goods and baggage and tents and wares to sell. And so in order to get these donkeys through or these camels through, the merchants had to strip them of all their belongings. And in some cases, make the camels get down on their knees to enter into the town. There was a requirement to strip off all the trappings of this life in order to enter. There's something like that in this. The great preacher, Alexander McLaren, said this: for us, the narrow gate is the self-abandonment and self-examination which are indispensable for entrance into salvation. The door of faith is a narrow one, for it lets no self-righteous, no worldly glories, no dignities through. We must creep in on our knees. So low is the door that we must leave everything outside. So narrow it is. We must go in one by one, as in the turnstiles at a place of entertainment. The door opens into a palace, but it is too straight, as in the Straits of Gibraltar, or straight as in straitjacket, but it is too straight for anyone who trusts himself. There must be effort in order to enter by it, for everything in our old self-confident, self-centered nature is up in arms against the condition of entrance. We are not saved by effort, but we shall not believe without some effort. The main struggle of our whole lives should be to cultivate self-humbling trust in Jesus Christ and to fight the good fight. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus says. Enter the kingdom of God by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Jesus tells us that there is a narrow gate and a narrow way, and there is a wide gate and a wide way. And Jesus says, I want you to go by the narrow gate. Now, Jesus in the book of John, not in the book of Matthew, describes himself as a gate in which we can enter into the sheepfold. He is the gate, and it's a narrow gate. Like that camel, or like that donkey, or like the man that Alexander McLaren talks about, we need to strip off our self-righteousness. We need to strip off our self-reliance, our independence, our pride, our arrogance, our way. We need to strip them off in order that we can come in, that we can come in to the life that Jesus has for us. It is a palace, but the door is narrow. And the way is hard, Jesus says. That word hard that he uses in verse 14, it is that word that has to do with being pressed down, like grapes would be pressed down. It's the word that the old translators did translate straight, as in the Straits of Gibraltar, the narrow strait, or which we use for straitjacket, that confined, difficult space. It's no picnic, Jesus is saying. In fact, in verse 13, he's saying that the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. So many enter that. It's easier, it seems that Jesus is saying, not to go to heaven than it is to enter heaven. That should cause us to pause. That should cause us to take real stock of it. He said, everyone's on it. Christian life is hard. It feels narrow at times. It feels hard at times. The world hates you at times. Troubles come and you feel torpedoed at times. You may feel torpedoed today. And everything cries out to us to to leave, to find an easier way, to sit back, to rest. And Jesus says, that is not an option open to a Christian. Christian, the way is narrow. And the way is hard. But the way to destruction is easy. Now, these are Jesus' words in this sermon. And it's clear to me from these words that Jesus believes that after we die, there is either life or there is destruction. Jesus hasn't left open to us universalism. However lovely, however nice that may be to us, Jesus doesn't allow us that luxury, that ease. He tells us very honestly, he warns us very sternly, the Christian life is hard. But there is a day coming when the door will open to you and you will be welcomed in to the palace that is eternal life, that God himself will greet you. And you will spend your days with him at peace, in joy, worshiping, glorifying, being the most true you that you have ever been. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Jesus gives another warning. Not only is the gate narrow and the way narrow, but there are those who would want to drag us by their teaching or by their preaching into that wide way that leads to destruction, that easier way that leads to death. And so Jesus says, verse 15, beware of false prophets, pseudo prophets. If we were going to go into the Greek, pseudo. They are false. They pretend to be prophets. What is a prophet? Well, a prophet is someone who foretells, more accurately, what God is saying. Sometimes that does indeed deal with future events. But more often than not, a prophet is someone who just speaks forth the word of God, without fear, without favor, speaks what God is saying. And so in that respect, Jesus was the greatest prophet who ever lived, the greatest king, the greatest priest, the greatest prophet, the one who speaks forth God's word. So great a prophet was Jesus that he is called the very Word of God. He was much more than the best king, much more than the greatest priest, much more than the greatest prophet or teacher. He was God incarnate. God, the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. It's wonderful. So prophets foretell what's on God's heart, what God is saying. And we see them throughout the Old Testament as God speaks forth. And there are at least three things that we see prophets saying. They try and bring people back into the narrow way. That's what they do. So they would speak out again and again and again against idolatry. They would speak out again and again and again against sinfulness. And they would speak out again and again and again about injustice. Idolatry, sin, and injustice. These are the themes of the prophets. When God's men and women would speak, they would be calling them into the narrow way of fidelity to God through our hearts, through our actions, and through our involvement in the world around us. That's what they would call us to. And it was a narrow way. But there were false prophets, pseudo-prophets, who would draw people into the wider way. They would say things like, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They would tell people not to worry. Everything is just going to work out fine. You don't need to change. You don't need to do anything. All is well. Or they would be false prophets in that they would not live godly lives. Their walk would not match their talk. They weren't walking as those who were wise. They were walking as those who were foolish. And so prophets who were called to call people into the narrow way were either saying wrong things or living in a really wrong way. Or once or twice in the Old Testament, we meet prophets who prophesied for gain, for money. They wanted riches. They were hired hands who would prophesy to order. And we see something of that in the New Testament when Simon Magnus wants to be able to prophesy for money, for gain, this gift of the Holy Spirit with which the disciples are baptizing people in. He wants for gain, for profit, which is a terrible thing. So that's false prophets. They don't say the right things. They don't live the right way. And their motivation isn't towards God. Beware, Jesus says, of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, what concerns me about this saying of Jesus, this text of Jesus here, is that we won't easily recognize false prophets from true prophets. Jesus says, beware, they come to you in sheep's clothing. They look harmless. They look perhaps cuddly. They may even look pleasing to the eye. There is nothing in their appearance that would tell us that they are dodgy, that they are actually a wolf in sheep's clothing. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They look like sheep. They perhaps smell like sheep. They love to come among the sheep. And then they eat the sheep. And they're ravenous. They're insatiable in their appetite. They are swindlers. They are extorters. They make money off of the sheep. And then they spit them out. They lead the sheep onto the wide way and spit them out. Jesus says, beware. We have to take Jesus seriously. We genuinely need to beware. We need to watch out. We need to be on our guard. Jesus couldn't have said it any more strongly than he did in this sermon. Enter in by the narrow gate. It's narrow, it's tight, it's hard, but it leads to life. Don't enter in by the wide gate. It's easy. You can't miss it. Everybody's on it. But it leads to death and destruction. Beware of false prophets. They may look good. They may be handsome. They may be attractive. They may be wealthy. They may be powerful. They might be easy to listen to. They may be popular. They may be incredibly intelligent. They may be just really nice. But they want to eat you up and spit you out onto the wide path. Verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. So Jesus says, look, you won't be able to recognize them directly with your eyes because they'll look like sheep. They'll look cuddly, harmless, and like other teachers, other prophets. But you will recognize them by their fruit. So what will be the fruit of a pseudo prophet, a fake prophet, a false prophet? Well, the very first fruit that we'll be able to discern is the things they say. Do the things they say lead us onto the narrow path of fidelity to Jesus Christ? Or will they lead us astray onto the wide road that leads to destruction? That has to be first and foremost. Is what they're saying going to lead us to more love, more worship, more fellowship with Christ? Or is it going to be an easier, self-centered, wide teaching? So important. We need to look and observe the way that they live. Do they live like Jesus Christ? Do they experience the hardship that Jesus experienced? Jesus said, no pupil is greater than their master. If they hated me, they will hate you. So it would seem to me that those who are teaching Christ properly, with fidelity, are not going to be the most popular of preachers or prophets. They are unlikely to look rich. They are unlikely to have jets. They are unlikely to be accepted by everyone. In fact, Jesus said, woe to you when all people speak well of you. Now, this is a challenge. In a world that rates popularity and celebrity so highly, this is a real challenge to preachers because we want to be popular. We want to be loved. We want to be influential. But that is not fidelity to Jesus Christ. So look at what they say. Look at how they live. Does their walk match their talk? And finally, we would be asked to look at whether what they teach aligns with the clear and simple teaching of Scripture. It's a simple and easy test. Is what they are saying proved in Scripture, evidenced in Scripture. One of the 39 articles of the Anglican Church says that you do not need to fear anyone or any teaching that doesn't line up to the clear and simple teaching of Scripture. If it can't be evidenced by Scripture, if it cannot be taught from Scripture, you don't need to worry about it. And so we've got these three tests of their fruit, the words of their lips. Do they lead us to Jesus in the narrow way, or do they lead us to the wide way? We've got the fruit of their lives. Do we see good fruit, holy, upright lives? And do we see fidelity to the Word of God, the clear, simple teaching of the Word of God? The trouble with us is that we live in a world that judges things very superficially. We value looks over substance and wealth over contentment and power over submission and soundbite over truth and ease over fulfillment and comfort over courage and silence over disturbance and fun over faithfulness. We judge very poorly, but Jesus says you will recognize them by their fruit. And Jesus finishes this piece of teaching with some wonderful analogies from nature. He says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No, there's no good fruit that comes from a thistle or a thorn. Certainly not grapes or figs. He goes on, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Jesus says, look, by their fruits, you'll know them. Are there fruitfulness in their ministry? Is there fruitfulness in the words they say? Is there fruitfulness in their lives? Is there fidelity to the Word of God? Is there fruitfulness in what they say, in that it leads us to Jesus? Because that's the test. There is no other test. Not looks, not wealth, not ease to listen to. That is the test. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Here we've got this wide road again, this wide road that leads to destruction. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So what about us? I've written two things. Firstly, we need to listen and heed Jesus's warnings. Not read past them. Not read over them. Not skip over them. But we need to listen. We need to take them to heart, and we need to be on our guard. Second thing we need to do is we need to pray and pray and pray. Are you on an easy, wide path? And many are with you, keeping you company. But it's a path to destruction. Or have you entered by Jesus Christ, tearing off everything that hinders you, entering in by the narrow gate that is his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension? Have you entered by that narrow gate that is Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, in a life that is filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit? Have you? And we need to pray that God would give us great discernment in all that we read, all that we would watch, all of whom we would listen to. Enter by the narrow way and beware of false prophets.
Thank you for listening to Words of Welcome. For new episodes and more, please visit welcomebaptistchurch.uk.